If you cannot see, if you cannot learn, if you cannot understand, then you and your family and friends will succumb to the fires of the crematoria that have been built in every state and every major city on Earth, built to deal with you. Project Bluebeam by Sergei Monast, 1994.
I didn't see you there.
Something big is going on here.
From hunting ghosts to Bigfoot.
Paranormal, UFOs, true crime, and more.
We won't just be spouting articles.
I was researching for your entertainment.
The beginning of a new world.
The best guac you'll ever fucking eat.
True story.
It's basically like one day you walk outside and you see that the ants are playing with matches.
This is the Black Cat Report.
See you on the other side.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 83 of the Black Cat Report. My name is Gil, and here with me today, tomorrow... and yesterday's tomorrow is the one and only Joey.
Hey, thank you, Gil. I really appreciate it. I got my coffee. I'm ready for this blue beam of sorts.
Joey, here's the deal. You scream, I scream, we all scream for blue beam, but what the hell is it? That's the story we're going to attempt to take a scoop out of here today. But first, before we do that, I'm going to give a super huge, super special shout out and a big old thank you to everyone that tuned in yesterday for the premiere episode of Beer, Booze, and Boogeymen. Huge fucking success. Shit ton of calls came in. None of us could have imagined that it went as well as it did. And we are so stoked to eventually bring to y'all episode 2 come March 2nd. But yeah, that if you haven't got a chance to check it out, it was fucking dope.
Dude, yeah, it was awesome. Some of those stories, at least the first one that I heard, was amazing. So I can't wait to hear the next episode.
It was sweet. And just huge shout out to everybody. And as an extra heads up to probably around Wednesday of this week, going to be releasing the full, you know, unedited version of the show here on the Black Cat Report channel, probably around Wednesday. So keep an ear out for that if you want. Well, with that said, let's dive in. Now, if you've read the original text, the outline plans of NASA's Project Bluebeam, and truly believe it, this isn't the episode for you. If you're like me and found yourself spending hours every night stroking through Twitter and YouTube trying to catch the latest breaking UAP revelations, government leaks, or Ross Coulthart interviews, just slowly edging yourself towards the truth like a disclosure goon, then you've most likely come across the name Project Bluebeam, or as I like to call it, Project Blue Balls, because unlike UFO disclosure, which is actually making progress, as of this year, 2024, Project Bluebeam has been promising to come for 30 years. Now, if you're unsure what I'm getting at, I'm going to challenge you here a little bit, right? The next time you see another announcement, another whistleblower, another Pentagon investigation into the UFO phenomenon, scroll down into the comments of that post or article, especially if it's on Reddit or showing up on Facebook or on Twitter, right? Scroll down and seemingly without fail, someone, if not multiple people, will be proclaiming that this, whatever this happens to be, is part of or proof that Project Bluebeam is going to happen at any moment. But what is Project Bluebeam and why are so many people so goddamn worked up about it? Well, that question has a two-part answer. The first is the common understanding of Project Bluebeam, this colloquial cloaca of conspiracy terms that's getting put on and into everything like it's bacon in the mid-2000s. This version of the conspiracy is actually fairly simple and fairly straightforward. The government is planning to use advanced hologram technology to fake an alien invasion, which will allow them to usher in an era of complete control, meaning that all this talk of disclosure of the UFO threat is slowly preparing the population for one big light show, one that will unite humanity behind the military and against the alien invaders. Pretty simple, honestly.
Yeah, that's very simple.
And like, okay. You know, as someone who doesn't trust the government for shit, and feels justified by the long, long history of three-letter agencies running all sorts of tests, experiments, and false flags on the U.S. population, this take on Project Bluebeam doesn't seem too kooky.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, the Pentagon faked the existence of WMDs to pull us into Iraq. They instigated the Gulf of Tonkin to pull us into Vietnam. Then we got MKUltra, the Tuskegee experiments, the massacre at Wounded Knee, the memos from Naval Intelligence warning Roosevelt 3 days before it happened that the Japanese were planning an immediate attack on Pearl Harbor. The list goes on and on and on. And here's the thing. Every government does this shit, right? And the shit that they admit to now about stuff that happened 40 years plus ago is only a pattern of what they'll admit to about today, 40 years from now. I feel very safe saying that. So why not aliens? Why not fake an invasion? Well, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing they've ever done. That's what I'm trying to get at here.
So Gil, so let's look at it like this. I'm not going to discredit anything of this guy. So this Project Bluebeam, right, was written in 1994, correct?
Yes. First published in 1994.
Okay, so 1994. First published in 1994. Obviously, it's growing steam because of the most recent UFO leaks and stuff like that, and UAPs and stuff like that. So, and you're talking about 40 years later, everything's been revealed. So how many years has it been since 1994?
30.
Okay, 10 more years.
10 more years will be proof that there actually was an alien invasion and we were all sucked up into it.
Yes, and we are now in a different dimension that the government runs.
No, Musk was right.
He literally just implanted Neuralink.
Oh, God, Joe Rogan was right. No, I don't want to live in this world.
They literally implanted Neuralink into someone's brain right now, first time.
That's true.
Okay, well, I don't think this is correct. But let's go ahead and delve into it. Let's find out.
And that whole breakdown about, like, you know, the stuff the government's done, those are my personal beliefs based off of, like, history that I've learned, right? Honestly, I don't even want to say they're beliefs. They're history that I've learned. Like, the U.S., the whole Gulf of Tonkin incident. you know, the North Vietnamese fired on a naval intelligence ship, which was in the Gulf of Tonkin, which instigated the U.S. to be like, hey, you fired at us. Oh, my God, we're pissed at you. There was let's put that into actual terms. There was a Navy spy ship in their waters. And they warned them, get the fuck out or we're going to fire you. A country, a sovereign country said, get the fuck out or we're going to fire at you. And the U.S. was like, no, fuck you. Then they got fired at that. They're like, oh, my God, they fired at us. Let's get involved.
you know,
bullshit.
I honestly imagine just like that, like, Terrence and Philip meme when they're like, get out of here, buddy. No, fuck you. Fuck you. And then they're just yelling at each other, just like sitting there from the coast. Get out of here, buddy.
Fuck you, guy.
That's how I imagine it.
There also is the conspiracy. I haven't looked into it yet, but apparently Jim Morrison's dad was the captain of the ship that got fired on the Gulf of Tonkin.
Dan Morrison, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if his name's Dan or Morrison. I'm just making that up. Is this fit?
Dan, the man with the plan. But yeah, so like I said, fake alien invasion, honestly, not the most far-fetched thing compared to the long history of things that you can go to the FBI and CIA and Pentagon and Air Force's website and look at their disclosed files of the shit that they admit to doing. They 100%, you can read it on their own website. The receipts are right there. Wouldn't be the craziest thing, but like I said, there's two answers to the question of what is Project Bluebeam? And the second answer, which we're about to explore, is that the deeper you go into the readings of Project Bluebeam, the more fucking insane it gets, and the more it reveals itself to be a hyper-paranoid Christian conspiracy. And that, I just can't get down with.
No.
Now, the primary source for today's episode is, in fact, the first book ever written on this subject by the author who, depending on your view, either conceptualized the conspiracy or discovered it. It's a short 37-page book more akin to an essay called Project Bluebeam by Sergei Monast. First published in 1994, way up in French Canada, its original title was Le Project Bluebeam de la NASA, or for people that speak American, NASA's Bluebeam Project. And while we don't usually wade through the waters of the author's background before taking a deep dive into the subject, we need to make an exception for old Sergei, and not just because he looks like a 102-day-old Rougarou, but but because its inspirational roots are so toxic and twisted, and part of the credit the Bluebeam conspiracy eventually gained comes from Sergei's early demise and the days leading up to it. Now, real quick before we do that, I'm going to screen share this author with Joey so you can see exactly what I mean. This is the actual official photo of Sirkin.
Oh, is it on the back of the book too?
Yeah, it's in the book too. So, like, I'm not just exaggerating. Look at the unhinged look in his face.
He is crazy. He definitely looks unhinged.
That's why I said, looks like a 102-day-old regret.
One thing about, like, the idea behind it is, like, with conspiracy theories, I always think about, and, like, it's, like, usually conspiracy theories at the basis of it and, like, the top of it, their, what is it, like, their founding thing is, like, usually, like, okay, that's mm-hmm. not super horrible, you know, that's not super bad to think about.
Yeah.
Like, that could be, like, especially the top of this one where you're, like, this. And then as you start to dig deeper and deeper into these conspiracy theories, you start going, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, they could have just stopped.
Yes.
Like, at this point, they could have wrote a two to three page book saying, like, here's what we believe, here's why we believe it.
Yeah.
And at the top of Project Bluebeam, the first option, the first tunnel that we went down of being, like, it could just be a thing to unite the world against an alien invasion, which is not really happening, which, I don't know. Crazier things have happened. We do it for war, like you just said, you know, uniting against an outside threat, which is a thing that happens. That's a psychological term. That's what they use.
Yeah.
But, like, then you start going down, like, oh, let's describe how we got here and how we got to this and who's to blame. And then it starts going off a deep end of, like, now we're on the fucking moon, you know, like, we're on the moon with little tiny.
Were we?
Yeah. Or do we live on the moon? It just. Stop in the first two to three pages with their overview of it and just let it go.
A great conspiracy. You know, it really is an octopus. It has tentacles and everything. And so it grabs people from who are coming into the conspiracy from so many different outlets and so many different angles. You know, the folks that look up at the sky and they're like, that ain't no sun. And they're questioning that. And then, like, the folks that are wondering about, like, the chemtrails, like, up in the sky. And the folks that are curious about, you know, did the moon landing happen and da-da-da-da. But somehow they all converge together, right? And so a great conspiracy is as wide and diverse as the governmental institutions they're paranoid about, right? It's just every single aspect possible down to the mailman who just looked at you a little too long and a little too strange, you know?
Yeah.
So back to the story, though. So who is Sirkin, right? And what happened? Well, this is one of my favorite parts. In the early 90s, Sirkin, who up until that point had spent his adult life building a moderately successful career as a poet, an essayist, and indie investigative journalist, he made what you might call a hard switch in his literary and intellectual focus. And while it's true you can't judge a book by its cover, you can judge an author by a book's title. Here's what I mean. In 1980, Sirkin released The Dawn of Nocturnal Inferno, Essay on Love.
Ooh.
Which was followed up by a collection of poetry called Intimate Cries. Then, between 1983 and 84, he came out with Meditations on the Ten Commandments of God and The Medal of St. Benedict, or The Cross of St. Benedict. Now, compare those titles, which I would say are fairly vanilla, to what he begins releasing starting in 1992 with such works as
It's 15 Seconds to Midnight in Ottawa, From the Impossible Canadian Duality to the Outbreak of a Civil War, Journalistic Investigation File.
And who can forget the instant microwave dinner classic,
The World Government of the Antichrist, International Investigative Journalism, The Global Illuminati Conspiracy, Volume 1.
Now,
these titles definitely don't catch your eye, I would imagine.
I don't know how he paid for all the real estate on the front of the book just to get the title printed. Now, fast forward 2 years to 1994, with the two books Sirkin published just before Project Bluebeam.
The United Nations Concentration Camps Programs in America, Coup d'Etat and War Preparations in America, Book 1.
And?
Vaccines, Experimental Military Medicine, Liquid Crystals, Journalistic Investigation File, CIA.
Wow. Was there ever a Book 2?
No.
Or did he just wrote volume ones and ends it? Like, I guess you're always waiting for the next book for these two.
Go to the Wikipedia list of the books he published. I know, right? Just keeps everybody on edge, right? He's really into keeping everybody on edge. Ba-dum-tsh. Now, I don't feel like I'm going out on a limb here when I say I think it's pretty clear that Sergei pulled a Schaefer swivel going from intimate cries to coup d'etat concentration camp conspiracies, right? Speaking now of concentration camp conspiracies, it was just 1 year after the release of Project Bluebeam that camp counselor Sergei took on what many in his troop consider his most hard-hitting literary effort when he remaster-raced an anti-Semitic, vomit-worthy conspiracy classic and called it The Protocols of Toronto 666. Now, this little shit gem was his attempt to update and revitalize a very notorious essay loved the world over by neo-Nazis and white supremacists called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And if you don't know about The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, pet a cat and pat yourself on the back. Consider yourself lucky for not having come in contact with this absolutely despicable trash. Now, that said, unfortunately, we're going to have to lift the lid just a little bit on this intellectual toilet that it's come to clog. You see, The Protocols of the Elders of Zion are, sadly, one of the most influential and foundational conspiracy texts ever written. Here's what I mean. If a conspiracy you come across starts using phrases like secret cabal or globalists, and then begins talking about who really runs the media, Hollywood, banking, or carries out child sacrifice rituals to make deals with ancient entities to unlock their plans for global domination, you're likely only a few YouTube autoplays away from outright, alt-right, anti-Semitic fear-mongering. Now, from there, you can easily, and I really mean this easily, find video after video filled with paranoid delusions about, quote, the Jews secretly running anything and everything you can think of as they enact their plans to weed out Christianity and take over the world. Tons of bullshit documentaries claiming the horrors of the Holocaust never happened or that it wasn't that bad, right? Like,
gotcha.
This is not a stretch.
What's crazy, too, is like how this has happened so much over the centuries. Like, I know we've talked about before is like, freaking the Black Plague got blamed on Jewish people.
Yeah.
The freaking flagellants were coming through killing them all.
Yeah.
You know? And then they were just like, oh, we're done. Good luck. Have a good day. And they're just like, we're alive? We're alive? Oh, okay. Thanks, I guess. We're just going to try to live. And then happened in World War II.
Yeah.
They just got all, they just got put in concentration camps. And for there's just something about it.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Well, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, they're one of the most foundational texts. Right, that you're going to come across. It influences and reaches into so many conspiracies. And just like I was talking about earlier with, you know, a good conspiracy theory kind of like puts its tentacles out and starts to dip into everything out on the fringes, a grand conspiracy theory does the same thing, but into other conspiracy theories, right? So it's layers upon layers. We're talking the conspiracy of conspiracy at this point. Well,
we're talking about Tres Leches of conspiracies.
The Tres Leches.
Yep.
The Trilateral Leches Commission. That's
what we're talking about. Oh, that is the new name for the conspiracy theories. Deeper.
The Tres Leches conspiracy.
Yeah.
Where was I? So I'm hitting this point hard because, like I said, the influence of the protocols is why so many conspiracy theories get anti-Semitic so damn fast. They are the reason behind the modern conspiracy trope, the blaming of Jewish folks for everything. And if there's two things longtime listeners of the show know we hate more than anything, it's Nazis and people who reverse into parking spots unnecessarily.
Now, correct.
I'm not saying...
Yep.
Sergei Monest was a tried and true white supremacist, but he did give off always reverse park vibes. I will fucking 100% say that.
Yeah.
And I'm not calling you a Nazi for finding and digging a conspiracy about global power influencers or starting to take an interest in Project Bluebeam, but I am drawing a clear line of connections I think people should honestly be made aware of, right? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Picture this. Picture this here. This is the best way I can conceptualize it, right? There's a Venn diagram with the protocols of the Elders of Zion on one side and modern conspiracy theories about the New World Order on the other. Two, you know, butt cheeks pressing against each other, if you will. And basically, the farther you go down those rabbit holes, the more likely you are to someday wind up in the center of Hitler's ass.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, that's freaking true. Yeah.
That's the best way I can.
I guess you're swallowing, you're going down the toilet to just get right up in that crack, you know?
Like a New York alligator just coming out of the toilet and right into Hitler's ass.
It's so crazy how quickly some, like, just watching YouTube videos too, like, it's so true how, like, just watching a YouTube video about this, the basis of this thing, of this conspiracy theory, and then it's like you look down and you're just like, it was the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. The second one down, and you're just like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, that was a quick jump.
I swear to God, like, it's the algorithm. There's a reason why it's always going to be close in the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the content is so fucking intertwined.
Yeah,
a lot of the early phrasing in these conspiracies are soft dog whistles to folks that know where the fuck the conspiracy is going.
Mm-hmm.
But those same dog whistles work as, what's the word I'm looking for? They work as subtle indoctrination,
mm-hmm.
right? So that you're learning, oh, the globalists are doing this, the globalists. And then you start learning about who are the globalists. And then all of a sudden it starts being, well, this person whose name was this and name was this and name was this. And it's like, have you noticed anything about these names? Now, we're not saying they're all Jews, but, and like, and then it starts to get farther. At that point, you've become invested, right? Like, you're buying yeah. books, you're watching documentaries, you're talking to folks about it.
You're $10,000 in the hole, paid for training on how to stop the invasion.
You're buying pheromone colognes because you just know girl will look at you anymore. Just like,
mm-hmm.
just trying everything out there. This episode is brought to you by The Subtle Sense of Sergey.
Pheromone cologne.
Unleash your inner Rougarou.
Oh, God. It only lasts for 101 days.
It's all we got left anyways.
All you need. Yeah.
Now, as for Sergey Monat's death, page 5 and then page 7, which page 6 was completely blank, so just picture page after page, of the book, Project Bluebeam.
Wait, there was a page that was actually blank in the book?
Oh, dude, yeah. No, I'll hold it up right now. Oh, sorry. Wait, hold on. Wait, was it? Yeah. Okay, so page 5.
There's just a blank page in the book?
Page 5, right? Page 6, now page 7.
Yeah, there's no... So... What is going on? That's so... Okay, let's move forward. We're past that, but...
my biggest beef, my biggest fucking beef for a 37-page book, the table of contents was on page 39.
Wow.
They fucking put the table... I was like, la-da-da. Really? Why did you do this to me?
Why did you know, he did that. He's just this? Like when he was releasing volume 1, he's doing that. So you have to read through the whole book to get the table of to know where to look in the book. You'll have
he's
to read it.
He's kind of a fucking genius in the worst
he's marketing,
way possible.
The marketing genius. That's what he is. We're gonna learn from
genius.
Him. We're going to learn from him today.
No, we're not. Now, yeah, so like I said, page 5 and essentially page 6 of the book, Project Bluebeam, do well to build the legend while completely disagreeing on an important detail. I'm talking the author's bio followed up with the publisher's note about the book.
Mm-hmm.
Just completely disagree on a very important detail, which I'm sure you'll pick up here in a second. Now, on page 5, after a brief bio about Sergey, we find out that, quote,
by 1995 and 1996, Moness said he was being hunted by the police and authorities for involvement in networks of prohibited information. He died of a heart attack in his home in December 1996 at age 51, the day after being arrested and spending the night in jail under very strange and suspicious conditions.
End quote. Now, on page 7, we learn a little bit more about, you know, why he went to jail. We learn a little thing such as how he was homeschooling his two children before authorities took them both away. The cause being, quote, abusing them emotionally by stopping the children from going to a state school, end quote. Then, shortly after both of his children were taken, Sergei was arrested and spent the night in jail before having a, and I'm using quotes because they did,
heart attack,
and dying at age 47.
What?
I don't know if anybody else caught that. Within two pages of the book, and only like five paragraphs, they said he died at 51, and then they said that he died at 47.
He's a time traveler now, too.
Well, why bring this up? Well, when you read into the comments left by his supporters, you'll often find people saying things like, his book was so short because, quote, they killed him, or he died mid-investigation into Bluebeam. Those comments were literally why I decided to do this episode. I kept seeing Bluebeam, and then eventually somebody was like, well, you know, the book's short because blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, there's a whole conspiracy on top of the conspiracies. It's a quad leche mm-hmm. cake at this point. Like, what is going on here, you know?
Yeah.
How tall is this cake? So, see, the deal is he died 2 years after the French-Canadian version of the book was published and had published other works after Bluebeam, like The Protocols of Toronto 666, the year after Bluebeam, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't mid-investigation. In fact, Sergei regularly published books between 30 to 150 pages. It wasn't odd or out of place at all. That is the first myth I wanted to like dispel immediately. He died the year the English language version came out. He didn't die the year that the book came out. Right. And I'm assuming the New World Order probably has offices in France, because as we all know, if evil lives anywhere, it's in France. Now,
yeah, I think we decided that last week.
Exactly. Folks, basically, they're connecting the dots between the year the English translation of Bluebeam was released, 1996, with when he died in 1996. But the stories and everything else, it's bullshit. And frankly, I think most folks would agree, and I have no issue with homeschooling, as we get a little bit further into what Sergei thought was going on in the world, which he outlined in Bluebeam and in his other books, I don't think that his kids were taken because they were being homeschooled. I think his kids were taken because they were being brought up in a situation where they probably couldn't communicate with an ounce of sanity towards any outside human being.
Most likely.
When they had to actually take a state school test to make sure that they were keeping up with their education, which most countries do when somebody's homeschooled, they were probably like looking at the answers that these kids were giving and being like, holy fucking shit, what's going on at home?
Okay. Yeah. History questions, they were like, it was the Jews. It's like, ooh, okay, yeah, we need to take these people away. Yeah, these kids are not in a safe home.
It was the reptilian Jews made of green jello. Yes. And they're like, these kids are French-Canadian. Why do they have a German accent?
Why do they sound German? Yeah.
So now that y'all got a big old dose of background and pseudo-intellectual inspiration, let's finally dive into just what the hell the Bluebeam Project actually is. You fucking ready for this, Joey?
No. But yes. No.
Joey, I need to know.
Yes.
Are you fucking ready?
No.
For this?
Yes. Yes, let's do it. Okay, I'm good. I'm all in. Go ahead. Give me the deets.
Here's the deal. Instead of my jaded ass attempting to give a very bitter breakdown of the Bluebeam Project, I decided it would be best if we brought in an expert. My long, intentionally lost cousin from Costa Rica who grew up in Arkansas, Gil, with two L's. Gil, thank you, Yankee. Never thought I'd say that. Well, Joey.
Wow. Okay. Welcome, Gil. Wow.
Two ales.
So I'm just going to give the people who can't see Gil right now, we might actually release this video.
Yeah, introduce them to me. Gil with two L's.
Gil with two L's over there.
Thank you.
He is wearing a tinfoil dome protector, if you will.
Yes.
To protect his thoughts, I think. I'm just guessing. From alien mind readers, right, Gil?
You'll learn. Now you'll learn. You'll learn.
I'll learn. Okay. And his eyebrows have somehow grown about, look like fuzzy caterpillars on his face. So he is, he has, yeah. So I, Welcome, Gil. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm glad Gil with two L's. We needed an expert to go into this, and obviously...
That's what I'm here for.
For people who believe this, and, you know, we're not going to throw you under the bus or anything on the show.
Listen up. First things first, there's four steps to NASA's Project Bluebeam, the goal of which is to, quote, implement the New Age religion with the Antichrist at its head, end quote. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, what in the false flag are you talking about, Gil with two L's? Well, Joey, I'm glad you hypothetically asked that exact question I stated in your direction rhetorically. You see, in order for the New World Order to establish its order, there needs to be a series of religious and historical dilemmas on a scale and order the world has never seen and could never recover from under the systems of its pre-existing order. Ergo, quote, I'll repeat that. Without a universal belief in the New Age religion, the success of the New World Order will be impossible, exclamation point, and quote. Any questions?
Why was there an exclamation point there on the end of your quote?
I was quoting.
Oh,
it was in the quote.
You were quoting somebody else.
Yeah. I was quoting Sergey.
Oh, is he your leader or your teacher, mentor?
Leader? Oh, God, no. Truth revealer, I would say. Leader? No, we don't even got no leaders. No. Except the Lord.
Well, why do you believe this?
Joey, that's what I'm here to tell you. Joey, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You pick up a ball, you drop it on the ground. What happens? You dropped it on the ground. Why did it fall on the ground? Because the earth is flat.
Gravity.
That's a different conversation.
Gravity.
No.
Yeah, okay. Let's not go there.
Look,
I want to stay on Project Bluebeam, my friend.
I agreed to come on this show to reveal the truth. Now, you told me I'm skipping church right now.
True. It's Sunday.
And I skipped church to come here to lay down a sermon.
Well,
now that we got that cleared up, the first step of the Bluebeam project is as simple as cornbread, Joey. You want to take a stab at what the first step might be? I'll give you a hint. Now, what would you do, Joey, if you had to crush everyone in the world's beliefs and their religion at the same time? I'll wait.
Well, there's only one thing that you can do, right? Aliens?
Wrong. No.
Whoa. Okay.
The correct answer, earthquakes and archaeology. Now, this one's easy. What they're going to do is orchestrate a series of massive earthquakes around the world at the exact same time, or, you know, a couple days apart, doesn't matter. Now, these earthquakes, and this is key, these earthquakes are going to be at specific sites all around the planet. And what they're going to do is break open the earth and reveal, quote, supposedly new discoveries, end quote, within known archaeological sites. You digging what I'm putting down yet?
How are they going to do that? How are they going to cause earthquakes?
God damn it, Joey. Wait, can we just start a new series here? Honestly, I'm going to have to. I'm doing my best to educate y'all. Now, listen, just step back and listen, all right? Now,
I'll keep my ears open. I'm sorry, Gil, with two L's.
I need you. Thank you. Now, these earthquakes, right, breaking open the crust, revealing false artifacts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm talking shit like, what would you do if your scientist told you they found out Jesus had a cell phone? Okay, what if Muhammad liked a skateboard? What if Buddha did cocaine? All right, I could see the look of fear in your face, Joey. I would absolutely be crushed too. Right, I could see the weight of this reality raining fear down on you. And I mean, I know that if this happened, it would me too. Right, like I'm sitting over here, I'm thinking Jesus was most definitely an android man. Obviously, open source, a man of the people, not some Garden of Eden, apple-eating heathen, but
did
just
you just say
this. One
you
day,
think Jesus was an android? Oh, android man.
No,
okay, I got
android
you.
Man. Keep,
oh, he's not an iPhone guy. Sorry.
Keep
okay.
Your ears open. Keep your ears open now.
Yep,
yeah,
sorry.
ain't some Garden of Eden, apple-eating heathen right now. But one day, picture this, one day you wake up and wait, all across the periodicals, lost texts to the disciples found on Jesus's BlackBerry. I'd be crushed. All right, now, I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus reading my prayers with green Android text.
Yeah, it's disgusting. No
now,
green.
Joey, if that doesn't scare you enough,
mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you the first step's already begun. The NWO has been slowly indoctrinizing us with such cinematic masterpieces as, quote, 2001, A Space Odyssey, the Star Trek series, and Independence Day, end quote. They've even defiled the word of God by pushing their evolutionary agenda with movies like Jurassic Park. Now, the goal here with these movies, earthquakes and discoveries of false arcane archaeological objects, is to shock the world's believers into losing their faith, making them think they were all wrong about their take on God. And that is on God. No cap, which I'm told means no capitulum, which is the Latin root word for capitulation, ergo, no surrender to the NWO. Well, from there, the NWO is going to move on to step two, the big space show in the sky. Now, this is the one everyone knows and loves, but they don't quite understand yet. You see, using satellites and advanced Soviet computer technology, every person on the planet will hear his or her God, there's only two genders, speak to them in their minds, in their native language. Lots of folks just think it's just going to be UFOs. No, 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 no. It's so much more than that. Now, Joey, I know you're sitting over there and you're thinking, how might that be?
Well, how might that be? Yep, that's what I'm thinking.
Quote now from the Good Book of Blue Beam. Quote, a gigantic space show with three-dimensional optical holograms and sounds. Laser projection of multiple holographic images to different parts of the world, each receiving a different image according to the predominating regional, national, religious faith. This new God's voice will be speaking in all languages. End quote. Now, on top of that, Reds have also assigned, quote, electronic wavelengths for every person and every society and every culture to induce suicidal thoughts if the person doesn't comply with the dictates of the New World Order, end quote. So where do the UFOs come in? You're obviously asking, undoubtedly. Now,
I am, yep.
Those are tests. See, They are holographic projections from satellites to a point 60 miles above the Earth in the sodium layer of the atmosphere, essentially turning our own atmosphere into a giant movie screen. I mean, sit back and think about it, right?
Did you say the sodium layer of our atmosphere?
The sodium layer. The sodium layer of our atmosphere. Now, just sit back and think about it. Look it up. Now, in the 80s and the 90s, why was there such a concerted global effort to ban chlorofluorocarbons, CFCs, aerosol cans? They told us our hair was getting too big, that it was poking holes in the ozone layer, that we were rocking too hard. But Joey, that doesn't even make sense. Why do they care? Well, they care because we were actually poking holes in their plan. You see, you can't project a movie on a screen filled with holes.
That's true, I guess. Yeah. It's not, it's not like it's IMAX. You know, IMAX. The world is an IMAX. Ugh. Is that what you're getting at? Gil with two L's?
Sodium layer, 60 miles above the the Earth that they're projecting the UFOs onto.
Okay.
If there's holes in the ozone, how can they project the UFOs?
Well, isn't there a hole above the above Antarctica, supposedly, that's healing up right now?
Oh, don't get me started on that. Now,
okay.
To add even more rumble to the chaos, there will be a false rapture. That's right. All these abductions you've heard about were actually just tests done in the lead up to Project Bluebeam. You see, when the false depictions
we
of
aren't
everyone's
even at
God appear.
Project Bluebeam yet?
What?
We aren't even at
Project Bluebeam
yet?
No.
Getting
this is all
there?
Preparation.
Oh, okay.
Baby. Oh, yeah. No, we're still getting there. Now, you see, when the false depictions of everyone's God appear during the big space show in the sky, their God will begin acting out their regional version of the rapture. But behind the scenes, the NWO will be using tractor beams to pull massive numbers of people into the sky. Inevitably, this will lead to massive religious wars on Earth, further reducing the global population, ergo, making it easier for them to control.
So, you also, Gil with two L's, you also believe in the Georgia Guidestones and what was written on them, right?
Who the hell you think helped carry them stones there?
Oh, true. You probably were part of it. Yep. That makes sense.
And who the hell you think destroyed them? Now, the next step, in step two, is when all the gods who are looking down from the sky and speaking to everyone suddenly combine into one god. Now, this is the false god of the New Age religion, officially sponsored by the New World Order. Its name? Maitreya. Now, in Buddhism, Maitreya is an advanced Buddha that will be born when the teachings of the previous Buddha have been decayed on Earth. And, I mean, that sounds fine. I mean, who wouldn't want Golden Child to be a real documentary? Now, here's the issue. In Theosophy, Maitreya, or Lord Maitreya, is actually an advanced spiritual entity and high-ranking member of the reputed hidden spiritual hierarchy, the Masters of the Ancient Wisdom. Now, this combination, it's going to happen in front of everyone with anything but the slightest of fanfare. You see, as the gods combine to form Maitreyatron, Ludwig von Beethoven's Ode to Joy, number one, will be blasting down from space. This process will coincide with the, quote, setting loose of millions of programmed religious fanatics through demonic possession on a scale never witnessed before, end quote. Now, I'm not entirely certain what scale he's referencing, but that don't matter. Now, there is so much more that could be said about the second step of the Blue Beam Project, including heart attack lasers blasted down from satellites in space, which will be used to kill dissidents, dissidents like Blue Beam author Sergey Moniz, but we're going to skip ahead to step three. Now, the third step in NASA's Blue Beam Project is, quote, telepathic electronic two-way communication, end quote, also known as the implanting of artificial thoughts, mind reading, and finally, mind control. Now, the fourth step is composed of three different events, or Sergey calls them orientations. These orientations of the fourth step are also often mixed up with people's general misunderstanding of what Project Bluebeam really is. Now, first event of the fourth step is faking an alien invasion in every major city on the planet, which will force every nation to use their nuclear weapons. Now, when this happens, the United Nations will basically slap everyone on the wrist and tell them, bad country, give us your nukes. That invasion wasn't even real. Quote, and how will the United Nations know that the invasion was false? They'll have staged it, of course. End quote.
Isn't the United Nations made up of countries?
Further, at some point during this nuclear alien invasion, Christians all across the planet will also be convinced that aliens are appearing in the skies to save them from all the demonically possessed people running around and all the rapture shit happening. Now, this is the second event. This is the second step in step four, when those Christians will be taken into what I can only assume is space death camps. Now, the third event will be, quote, a mixture of electronic and supernatural forces. The waves used at the time will allow supernatural forces to travel through optical fibers, coaxial cables, TV, electrical and phone lines in order to penetrate to everyone at once through major appliances. Embedded chips will already be in place. The goal of this deals with global satanic ghosts projected all around the world in order to push all populations to the edge of hysteria and madness, to drown them into a wave of suicide, murder, and permanent psychological disorders. End quote. Now, when all that's said and done, the world will be left begging for peace. They will be begging to follow whatever or whoever they need to make it stop. Everyone will be begging for the new Messiah. Here's the deal, Joey. Bluebeam, it's already begun. It started with the phasing out of paper money that will make us dependent on the new world order. They are already planning a massive global economic crash, which will force us to use a new digital currency that'll soon be introduced by the United Nations. To make matters worse, every single animal on the planet has already been microchipped.
Every single one.
With tracking device. Every single animal. And I'm going to quote here. Now, this quote's a big one, but y'all are ready for this truth pill here. Quote, but to implement the worldwide electronic money system, everyone in the world who might have money in the future will have to have a way to transfer money electronically. Before that time, everyone will have spent, before the year 2000, all of their cash reserves and assets. Everyone has to be 100% dependent upon the council for their existence. To prevent any kind of independence, the New World Order has already implanted microchips into wild animals, birds, fish, etc. Why? They want to make certain that the people who will not accept the New World Order will not be able to hunt or fish. Bastards, anywhere in the world. If they try, they will be tracked and traced by satellites, then hunted down and imprisoned or killed. Now, the New World Order is our, I'm still quoting here, the New World Order is already changing the laws of all nations to make everyone dependent upon a single food and a vitamin supply. They are changing laws about religion and psychiatric disorders in order to identify anyone who is potentially threatening the NWO. Those who are found defective will be sent to eradication camps, where their organs will be taken and sold to the highest bidders. Those who are not killed outright will be used as slave labor or used in medical experiments. Now, the goal... I'm still quoting. The goal of the dictatorship is to control everyone, everywhere on the planet, ruthlessly and without exception. That's why the new technology being introduced everywhere is a technology for the control of the people. The technology of the 1940s and 50s was used to help people have an easier and more productive life. The new technology is designed and built to track down and control people everywhere. This technology is being manufactured for a specific purpose, and to refuse to see and recognize that purpose, which is to enslave the entire populations of the world, is to deny the emergence of the Antichrist and the establishment of the New World Order religion and government. If you cannot see, if you cannot learn, if you cannot understand, then you and your family and friends will succumb to the fires of the crematoria that have been built in every state and every major city on Earth, built to deal with you. No one is safe in a totalitarian police state. Sergey Bonest. And a quote.
Damn, that is a lot. A few questions. Isn't it actually easier for a country in a world to just depend on the idea, they've actually kind of figured out a little better, of consumerism running the countries and making that a little easier than putting people in the death camps and killing them all? And it's actually easier to control people through media and that instead of just creating death camps.
Do you want me to get into the rainbow system explanation about what they're going to do with the population?
I mean, you lay it on me.
I wasn't sure if you were ready for it, but it kind of sounds like you're ready for it. I mean, you're sitting over here. You're asking for extra credit. All right. I'll deliver. I'm not even just flip through the good book here.
The good book.
Find it here. Sorry, I have so much notation in this book here. It's hard for me to find.
Is that your new personal Bible?
Hmm. Oh God.
Is that blasphemy?
That's the Bible.
Okay. Okay.
This does fit in the margins now.
Okay.
I'm gonna quote here, page 35 and page 36. All right, we're getting close.
The end of the book. Yeah, we're getting close to the end.
You know why? The last pages are stained with his blood. All right. Blood from his heart attack. Now, starting off on here in page 35. Now, quote, "For those who will not accept the New World Order, who will reject it, the New World Order people have already built re-education concentration camps, and for those camps, they have established what they call the rainbow classifications of the New World Order prisoners. The rainbow is considered as the, quote, bridge leading to the satanic empire of the New World Order. We already know, for instance, that everyone will have to take an oath to Lucifer in order to cross that bridge into the New Age. All who resist that initiation will be sent to detention facilities, where they will be separated into different categories known as the Rainbow Classification of the New World Order prisoners.
Okay.
Classification number one, I'm still quote, one, classification of Christian children as planned is to be as human sacrifices where, within the Black Mass ceremonies, they will be forced to participate in any kind of sexual orgies or be kept as sexual slaves. Number two, classification of prisoners to be used in medical experiments where drugs and new technologies will be tested on humans. Three, classification of healthy prisoners for the International Organ Donation Center, where vital organs will be removed one by one while they are kept alive by mechanical devices. Four, classification of all healthy underground workers. The New World Order is basically a worldwide dictatorship based upon Luciferian religion, a dictatorship with the illusion of democracy. In order to maintain the illusion of democracy, camps and slave labor will be hidden underground in massive colonies that are being built as we write this report. Five, classification of uncertain prisoners is the International Reeducation Center. Political and religious prisoners will be re-educated by whatever means required, so that they may repent on international television programs and glorify the virtues of the one world government for the benefit of all humanity. Six classifications, my favorite, six classification of the International Execution Center. Clear enough. Seven classification.
The International Execution Center, the IEC. Oh my God, the IEC.
Still quoting. Seven, classification seven. We are still waiting on the details of the seventh classification, and we are waiting verification of the colors to be assigned to these classifications of prisoners, but this is the basic agenda of those who have planned the new paradise world of the future. End quote. That answer your question, Joey?
Sure. I mean, to be fair, an education center sounds like something that was going on in China with the with their political dissidents, so that's
exactly
not horribly far off, I guess, but
exactly.
A lot of that other stuff sounds...
All right. Well, I'm out for the evening here. You guys take the reins.
Thank you, Gil, with two L's, for coming on the show, and we appreciate you, and maybe we'll have you on for another show. Enjoy Puerto Rico.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome back, Gil.
Hey, buddy.
Number two podcaster in the world, podcast host in the world, is back with us.
Number two. I'm glad y'all got to meet my long, intentionally lost cousin, Gil with two L's. Just figured we'd wrap up the show here. I don't know what kind of things he told you, but I hope y'all are okay sitting at home. Now, here's the deal with this episode. This shit is certifiably loony. Reading it was like a drunken stroll through the paranoid delusions of an institutionalized Baptist preacher on LSD. I didn't even get it. I didn't plan to get it. I heard you guys might have done it, like gone into the rainbow-based population control programs. Did you guys cover that?
Yeah, he mentioned something about it. He didn't tell us the colors and which colors are which. He was saying they're still waiting on confirmation, though, of which colors are which, but...
Yeah. Well, there's also sections where it gets into like war on Christmas rhetoric, or how the song Dawning of the Age of Aquarius was actually a covert admission of Project Bluebeam's plan.
Dude, 40-year-old virgin, they hit it on the head.
They hit it on the head. But they shined a light on it.
Yeah,
now,
it's just
basically
bags of sand.
But yeah, but basically the what the fuck factor just keeps going up and up and up, getting more and more Christian-centric, more wild, and more hard to understand the further you get into it. Now, I hope it's okay, but, like, the goal of this episode wasn't to come out and just bash common interest in Bluebeam. Not at all. My real goal was to hopefully lift the veil on how far and how extreme it eventually gets before you or anyone you know and love starts walking that path, right? I wanted to rip the Band-Aid off, so to speak, because indoctrination is a slow process of small, subtle concessions being gradually accepted over time until extreme views are considered normal. So I'm sorry if that was preachy, but I've been watching Bluebeam come up more and more within the UFO community that I love so much, and we wanted to at least give y'all a heads up.
You know what's really funny about the whole thing, Project Bluebeam? You're just talking about how incrementally the government's going to start doing this with movies and stuff like that, and that's literally what they're doing in the conspiracy theory. They're incrementally bringing you into this farther... I mean, they're doing exactly what they say the government's doing, is, or the NWO is doing, because it's not technically the government, if you think about it. That's the idea behind it, because the UN is made of the governments of the world. That's part of what it is. So it's like, that doesn't make any sense that they would be like, what's happening here? It's like, no, they would be the ones doing it. So
yeah,
I mean, like, it just does, that doesn't make sense. But, you know, we're thinking about it too much, I think.
No. I mean, that's actually like a really great point. And I had this thought like more than once as I got into the more and more like paranoid Christian delusions, right? Because it does turn into straight up paranoid Christian delusions. It gets very Christian centric about, you know, one of the rainbow tiers is classified for Christian children specifically, you know? I couldn't help but think, as it was going down through the process of, you know, re-education programs, of financial control, of control of natural resources, right, of the illegalization of the Christian religion, of how all these things will take over with an interdiction. No. Well, that's the thing, is like how the introduction and the process and the social pressures, you know, that go along with it. I couldn't sit here and think, I'm like, this is vaguely familiar. Oh, wait, this is what happened starting in 1492 in the United States with all of the native folks here.
Yeah. And that's why it's not far-fetched, you know?
I know, but it felt like this guilty, reading it felt like this guilty fear of like shit coming back. Yep. Honestly, like down to the eradication,
guilty
camps,
conscious
slavery, that just... all of it started to, and I was like, wow, they're projecting a little bit here. You know, like, so you really hit the nail on the head with that. Also, I want to say, he really didn't get into this enough. At some point, I guess NASA just completely fucking went rogue and teamed up with the United Nations to take over the American government. He never really gets into that.
That's the avenue I would like to go down. Is where is what? NASA going with this?
Wait, the underfunded NASA is finally going to get its revenge. But I'm just curious. I'm like, at what point have we had an administration in the White House that's like, or any elected official that's cool with relinquishing power?
Nope.
Who gets elected to office in this country that's not power hungry? Like, you don't run for office unless you got a little bit of an ego. And, like, you're more popular if it seems like you don't have a bit of an ego, or if it seems like you have a huge ego. Those are the two opposite ends. But, like, you're not doing it unless you really are fucking trying to control shit.
Yeah.
And so, like, who's going to be like, NWO, fuck yeah, sign me up. Like, nobody's
unless they're part of it, you know, and, like, that's the big thing. But I don't think that that's part of it, you know. It's crazy. I wish that he had gone more into NASA's part in this, because this whole idea of this, like, basically the Earth being an IMAX theater, or like a planetarium, which it technically is in general, basically creating these things. But he also didn't go, you know, we started talking about the holes in the Earth and the atmosphere, and that you couldn't project onto it. So, like, I guess if you were looking up north, you're in northern Canada, and you looked at where, like, the atmosphere is a lot thinner, the ozone layer is a lot thinner. So you looked up there, there would be no aliens attacking there, right? So you would just
I gotta stop you there. There was only two parts during that whole spiel that my, you know, my long lost cousin, when he came in, there was only two parts during that spiel that were made up. Okay.
Okay.
The first was the phrase Maitreya-tron, right? That was the first.
Pretty funny, though.
thank you. And the second one was the joke about the CFCs and, like, the aerosol cans and the holes in the ozone layer. That was a joke. That was a joke.
Okay.
Every fucking thing else was directly quoted from the book. Everything yep. else was quoted from the book.
Well, it's good we can clear that up, too. So.
Yeah, I want to point that out, you know, like, credit yeah. where credit's due. The insanity of this book. Like, I hope folks weren't turning it off just being like, God damn, that got out of hand. He was making fun of a... I wasn't making fun of them. Go buy the fucking $12 book. Read it, if you can.
Pamphlet, I would like to say. The pamphlet. Yeah, pamphlet. I don't think it's a book. It's 30 pages, so...
You can... I like to kind of build a library here at Black Cat Report, just like, you know, making, I'm sure I could find it online for free, but like that doesn't kill trees. So I have to buy the physical book.
Yeah.
I'm joking. I bought the book just for the collector's sake and to take notes in and stuff like that. It's fucking loony. And just be careful, y'all. That's all I'm going to say before you're falling asleep. And getting brainwashed by YouTube autoplays at fucking 4
in the
morning. Oh,
yeah, please don't fall asleep with the YouTube autoplay going, and then you going through a whole thing, and you wake up, and you're like, what the fuck did I just listen to?
And so anyways, Hitler was a good artist.
Crazy guy.
There's a million conspiracies tied to Project Bluebeam. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the point of this episode, was where did it all start? Where is it all yep. stemming from? Because when you slowly just dig in farther and farther and you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, what does that mean? Well, what are they referencing here? Eventually, you're likely to get to the source of it.
Yeah.
And by that point, again, you've more than likely made a shit ton of small concessions along the way and you've started to kind of get into it and now there's community around it. It's fucking Wingnut. And so I really hope that this... breaking it down like this, as goofy as it was, kind of helped rift off the Band-Aid a little bit. Just kind of like, you know, revealed, you know, Sergei behind yeah. the curtain at the end of the Yellow Brick Road, right?
Yes,
I don't know. I never saw that movie. But...
Wizard of Oz.
But, yeah, whatever. but we love y'all. Y'all are the best. Y'all are fantastic. Keep being weird. Keep being strange. But stay safe in the process.
Yes, please be safe.
And yeah, we will see y'all next week.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye. So you also, Gil with two L's, you also believe in the Georgia Guidestones and what was written on them, right?
Who the hell you think helped carry them stones there?
Oh, true. You probably were part of it. Yep. That makes sense.
And who the hell you think destroyed them?